Today on The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young.
Who disciplined children? Parents. Parents who have built a relationship from birth with that son and with that daughter. It's our calling, it's our responsibility, and it takes quality and quantity of time, make no mistake about it, and it takes supernatural wisdom.
The truth is, children need discipline, and God has given you a blueprint for doing it well. Welcome to The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young. Today, Dr. Young shares his message, Thou Shalt Discipline Your Children, about God's biblical model for how to discipline your children well. You won't want to miss it, so stay with us here on The Winning Walk. Before we get to today's message, we want to help prepare you for life's greatest challenge and most important calling by sending you Dr. Ed Young's book, The Ten Commandments of Parenting. In words that are clear, simple, and sometimes humorous, Dr. Young draws from decades of counseling and raising his own children to show you how to lay a biblical foundation upon which your family can thrive. We'll send you the Ten Commandments of Parenting as our thanks for your gift to help keep the proven truth of God's Word reaching you and people all over the world through this program. So call today to request your copy when you give. Call 1-800-350-WALK, 1-800-350-9255. We want to help you walk the winning walk with Christ every single day, so we've packed our website with practical resources to help you apply God's proven truth to your life, including books, Bible studies, and audio and video files. You can also sign up for Dr. Young's email devotional and even request personal prayer. So visit winningwalk.org for more of the proven truth and personal support you need. That's winningwalk.org. You can also follow your favorite program on Twitter. Our username is Winning Walk. That's Winning Walk. Now here's Dr. Ed Young with today's message, Thou Shalt Discipline Your Children.
Open your Bibles, if you would. We're talking about parenting. Proverbs chapter number 13 gives us a basic principle. Proverbs 13:24. He who spares his rod hates his son, but he who loves him disciplines him diligently. And the word diligently there, the etymology of the word, it means early morning. It means from the very beginning. So we are to bring our sons and daughters under our discipline from the early years of their lives. This past week, I went to Memphis, Tennessee and spoke at a conference. I took with me a couple of our pastors, Dr. DeLoach and another pastor, and we got there middle of the day on Monday and got a bite to eat, and I told them that I wanted to go out to some high schools and parks and malls in Memphis and take my own little personal survey. They looked at me sort of, wondering. But that's what I did. We went to a high school. I said, you guys wait here. And I walked up to a sign. There were about six teenagers seated there. And I went up and I said, my name is Ed Young. I'm from Houston, Texas. I'm taking my own survey about teenagers. Could we talk? And they looked at me and said, yeah, go ahead. I asked them a question like, after we had a little rapport going, I asked them, fill in the blank for me. I would like my parents to blank. You should have heard the words that they uttered. One said, stop being jerks. Another said, listen. Another said, trust me more. Another said, get me a car. Another one said all kinds of things. Two or three, and I must have talked to 50 or 60, Jim. Two or three or four of them said, I've got great parents. I wouldn't say a word to them. Only two or three out of 50 or 60. I went on a high school campus. I went on another high school campus. I talked to guys who on the wrestling team. I went out to a park. I talked to the skaters. I talked to a football coach. I talked to 50 or 60 guys and gals. I went into a mall and all the game rooms and asked that same question. I discovered a lot about the teenagers in Memphis, things that I already knew about the teenagers in Houston. I know more about teenagers today than a lot of mom and dads do, who are seated right here in this place. I know a lot more about junior high kids today than a lot of junior high parents know, and you're seated right here in this place. You say, boy, you must be brilliant. Oh, no, I went out and found out and got in conversation, and they'll tell you about drugs. They'll tell you about smoking pot. They'll tell you about drinking. They'll tell you about their sexual activities. They will tell you what they do on Friday and Saturday night after the game. I know where they hang out in Memphis. I know what goes on there, because being an anonymous guy from another city, they just opened up and simply talked. I talked to a teacher who had a German class in a park, and they were having a picnic. And I talked to this coach, and I asked them, you know, what's wrong with kids? And their answer was exactly the same thing. Not a thing in the world. It's their parents. Now, let me say parenthetically, there can be addictive problems, chemical problems, physiological problems with kids, and parents can do an A-plus job, but there can be these anomalies here. Let me say that up front. I think that should be assumed, but let me say that. But having said that, by and large, the problem with our kids today, ask a counselor, ask a teacher, ask anybody who's gone through it, they'll tell you, mom and dad don't get it. They're not paying attention. When I was in college, I worked as a youth director in a church. And one night I was called there in Jackson, Mississippi to the hospital that one of our kids had attempted suicide, and she was fighting for her life there in the emergency room. And when I showed up, a police officer said, evidently there's a suicide note. Would you go back with one of the officers and get the note at the home? And I got in the squad car. We went back. We got the note. We brought it back to the hospital. And I remember those parents walking around, and they kept saying something like this. We've done our best. We've done our best. Where did we go wrong? Where did we go wrong? You think that's brand new? Parents miss it? They miss their supernatural assignment to be godly parents, to be wise parents, to be participating parents, to be active parents? Do you think that's a new thing in our culture? Not at all. If you'll take your Bible, open it with me to the book of 1 Samuel. There was a man by the name of Eli. He had two boys, Hophni and Phinehas. And Hophni and Phinehas, we're going to find out what kind of boys they were. And their dad was a God-fearing priest. Listen to what happened to Hophni and Phinehas, 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 12. The Bible says, now the sons of Eli were worthless men. They did not know the Lord and the custom of the priests with the people. The word worthless there in some translation will say son of Belial. Belial. And that means sons of hell. An accurate modern translation would say Hophni and Phinehas were hell raisers. That's what that says. They were hell raisers. And look what else the Bible says about these two boys. Flip over, or it's in the same chapter rather, in chapter 2, verse 22. Now Eli was very old, and he heard all that his sons were doing to all Israel. He knew what was going on with his boys and how they lay with the women who served at the doorway in the tent of meeting. And he said to them, why do you do such things, the evil things that I hear from all these people? know my sins, for the report is not good which I hear the Lord's people circulating. If one man sins against another, God will mediate for him. But if a man sins against the Lord, they were guilty of blasphemy and a lack of reverence toward God. Who can intercede for him? But they would not listen to the voice of their father. Here these two sons were irreverent. They were hell raisers. They were immoral sexually with women who came to the temple. And look what happened to them. Look over in verse chapter number 3, verse 12, another commentary. 1 Samuel 3:12. In that day I will carry out, this is God speaking, against Eli all that I have spoken concerning his house from beginning to the end. For I have told him that I'm about to judge his house forever. For, why was Eli's house being judged? The iniquity which he knew, the garbage which he knew, because his sons brought a curse on themselves, and he did not rebuke them. Eli did not discipline his children. So he couldn't run around saying, where did I go wrong? I wonder where I went wrong. I wonder what happened to my boys. The Bible tells us he should have known he didn't discipline his children. Now let's ask some basic questions about discipline. First of all, who disciplines children? I'm taking it real slow. It's those that love this child the most, care for this child the most, reach out to this child the most, who really want this child to grow and be all that son or daughter can become. That's who disciplines the children. It's the parents. It's our calling. It's our responsibility. It's a part of the job description when we bring life into this world. The parents are to discipline the children. Now, let me say in the beginning, there's a difference between discipline and punishment. I may use them interchangeably for purposes of today, but you need to understand that. Discipline happens to be the rules, the regulations, the parameters that are drawn. That happens to be the whole area of discipline. Punishment is what parents do when those rules are violated. See? Discipline happens to be the rules, happens to be the parameter, and then punishment is what the parents do when children cross over that barrier, cross over those principles, break those rules. Now, we have all kind of parents who discipline their children. First of all, there's autocratic parents. Autocratic parents. This is the parent who is the dictator. This is a parent who steps up there and says, it's my way or the highway. And you know what children hear from autocratic parents? They hear, you do it my way or else. Now, autocratic parents are strong on discipline, but weak on relationship. Strong on discipline, weak on relationship. And parents say, this is what you do. Why? I'm your mom. I'm your dad. This is the way we do it. Period. Selah. End of debate. Autocratic parents. That's one type of parent who disciplines. And then there are permissive parents. A permissive parent would be someone who was weak on discipline, but they would say strong on relationship. Weak on discipline, strong on relationship. Now, the truth is, that's really not what a permissive parent is all about. A permissive parent says, I love my kids so much. They are so special and precious to me. I just can't, you know, I can't punish them. I can't deal with them. And I didn't have a lot when I was coming up, and I want them to have all these things. And you know what children, how they read a permissive parent? children says, I can do anything I want to do. That's how they read that. And permissive parents have children who manipulate them, and they use them, they play games with them, they pout when they're young, they say they don't love you when they speak. They teenagers, they grow up and say, I hate you, and they play games with mom and dad in order to make sure they run the show. Permissive parents actually do not love their children. If you love your children, you will pay the price and carry out the cost of disciplining them. Love is not the opposite of discipline. The opposite of love is the third kind of parent we find. Not only the autocratic parent, not only the permissive parent, but the indifferent parent. And the indifferent parent is weak on discipline and weak on relationship. The indifferent parent is one who just doesn't care, and that's what the children hear. The children hear from a parent who is indifferent, they say, they do not really care. No one really cares about me. If they cared, they would draw some lines. And you got many kids who are rebelling today, and they just see how far they can push the envelope because parents, from their perspective, are indifferent. They say, here's the money, here's the car, here's the babysitter, here's the daycare. I want to do my own thing. I'm having too much fun, too much pleasure. I can't spend the quality and the quantity of time with you. And they appear to their children to be indifferent because they are indifferent. There's the fourth kind of parent we find. That's the relational parent. The parent who builds a relationship with the children. Remember our basic principle we started on when we talked about parenting? Rules without relationship leads to rebellion. That's right. Discipline without relationship leads to rebellion. What else do we discover? Expressing love without the giving of time leads to anger. Leads to anger. And a lot of children today are angry. And a lot of children today are in rebellion because the parents have not assumed a biblical role as to what they are to do and what life is all about. You see, if you have a parent who is autocratic, for example, a child responds in one of two ways, fight or flight. They just fight that mom, they fight that dad, and there's a constant battle going on. The other hand, there's flight. You say they leave home. Oh, no, they stay at home. They just go underground, stealth. They just sort of are there. They just play the game. They get along and ought to go along, and they just kind of waltz through everything, and they're present. And the bottom line is mom and dad hadn't figured it out. They're there, and they're saying the right things. They're doing the right things. But they are in absolute rebellion because mom and dad have been so autocratic and so hard, or so indifferent, or so permissive. Who disciplines children? Parents. Parents who have built a relationship from birth with that son and with that daughter, and it takes quality and quantity of time, make no mistake about it, and it takes supernatural wisdom. You say, well, where do they discipline the children? In private, not in public. You don't reprimand harshly. You don't punish in front of people from a very early. You take that son or daughter out of the room. Also, it gives you a chance sort of to settle down yourself. Buy some time, take a walk, right? Because one thing that is a tragedy, when I disciplined my boys when I was angry, I'll tell you, the discipline overrode the mistake that they had made. The discipline was so out of focus, and the statements I made were so overdone. You'll never drive a car again. Oh, yeah. I'm going to send you to school up in the far reaches of Canada in the tundra, and we won't see you until you graduate if you don't. I know none of you ever did anything like that. So it's very important we back up and wait and cool off and never discipline a son or a daughter when we're angry, when we're out of shape. So we ask the question, who disciplines? Parents. Where do they discipline? Let me tell you the atmosphere. You ask any cattle rancher, where's the best place to raise that cattle? Where's the best place to grow cattle? And they'll say, not in a corral. Why? Like, you know, a corral would be a good place to raise cattle. Oh, no. You have to attend to them every second. You know, you have to feed them. You have to water them. They're in close proximity to one another. The best place to raise cattle is not in a corral. Oh, the best place to raise cattle would be in an open range, no fences. And just let them wander out and have all this land, and that would be the ideal way to raise cattle. Oh, no, that's not the ideal way, because they wander off, they get in bogs, predators get them, you can't count them, they're missing, you don't know how many are out there, you know what's going on. That's not the best place to raise cattle, way out there. Where's the best place to raise cattle? It's in a large pasture with a fence around it. You know, here we are. Where's the best way to raise kids? Autocratic parent says, put them in the corral. I want to see them. I want to count them. I want to run their life every day. We put them in a corral, autocratic parents. Permissive and indifferent parent says, just let them run. Put them out in the open range. And boy, just give them and tell them how great they are and get them out of your hair and move them on out and just let them go out there. What happens to that? The predators get them. The predators get them. Every single time. Where do you raise cattle? You put them in a fenced-in area. You put them in a pasture. Where do you put your kids? You want to raise them in a fenced-in area, but what you want to do as they grow and mature, you keep moving those fences. You give them more freedom, more responsibility. They make more decisions because they have built your trust. But there are fences there, and the fences are the boundaries, the regulations, the principles upon which you and your wife and your husband have firmly agreed upon.
You've been listening to The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young.
Philippians 1:27. Only conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or remain absent, I may hear of you that you are standing firm in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. The Apostle Paul longed to hear how these early Christians were conducting themselves. He wanted to hear that they were standing firm. That is a picture of consistency, isn't it? It means you're not up one day and down the next. When someone comes to Christ and invites him to be the center stage of their lives, they begin to invest all they are in things that matter, things that last forever. There begins to be a consistency in their walk. Their language is different, and they have a different outlook. Their lives are not chronicles of wasted time. Begin each day with Him and end each day with Him. Do this, and soon people will hear of you and see in you the beauty of a consistent, beautiful, magnificent, simple daily walk.
We hope today's message has encouraged you with the proven truth of God's Word. And we'd love to encourage you with a resource filled with proven truth to help you parent God's way. It's Dr. Young's book, The Ten Commandments of Parenting, and he wrote it to help you lay a biblical foundation for life's greatest challenge and most important calling so you can raise up the next generation of children to be disciples who spread the kingdom of God. You'll discover that there are no quick fixes to the tough task of parenting. God's Word has the blueprint you need to build a Christ-centered home. So call now to request the Ten Commandments of Parenting as our thanks for your gift to reach more people with the proven truth of God's Word. Call 1-800-350-WALK, 1-800-350-9255. Thanks for listening in today on The Winning Walk. Join us again tomorrow as Dr. Young gives you practical ways to practice biblical discipline in the home. You won't want to miss it.